We're talking to Sam DeBrier. She is the CEO of XY.AI. It's an agentic AI company in healthcare. It's fascinating to talk to Sam because of her personal journey from the early days of machine learning all the way through to agentic AI as applied to healthcare specifically. That's what makes it so interesting to us as an audience at DocSF. I hope you really enjoy this conversation. I think of it almost as required listening prior to our conference, because if you come in with this level of understanding, what you are going to be presented at the conference will make a ton more sense, and you'll readily see the potential applications. So welcome back to the DocSF podcast. And this time we have the amazing opportunity to spend some real quality time with the extraordinary friend of mine and CEO of XYAI, Sam DeBrower, who has been in the AI space as it applies to healthcare as long as anybody I know, and has a tremendous insight into its potential. And we have a minute here to really dive deep, not just in those types of questions relative to where does AI play out in healthcare, but also specifically her latest company, XY.AI, which is coming into the agent play in healthcare. And I think there's so much to be learned just discussing the company itself. And as we take on some of these questions, I actually think they'll bring insight into the problems that we're tackling in healthcare. So Sam, welcome back to DocSF. This is your second time coming, so we're very excited. Actually, we should mention a little something about the last time you came. You showed an app where you could take a picture of yourself and it would kind of predict how old you're going to be when you died. This is a long time ago when all this kind of stuff seems so science fiction, and people were like, I'm not sure I want to know.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned it. First of all, hi, Stefano. It's really great to connect with you again. And indeed, you know, bring us to a while back. But it's true. Last time we talked at DocSF, I had another company that got acquired meanwhile. But we were very early doing AI for healthcare. I started that in 2011. My first company in the US was a medical device company, and we were capturing health signals from touch and, you know, sending everything to the smartphone and using ML to process all that data and have insights. Always believed in personalized insights in real time. And so that was really my big driver. And then the company after that was more software oriented. And to your point, we were a full stack AI company, which means we were doing natural language processing, which is now we have Gen AI, which is just incredible. We were building chatbots, we were building predictive models, we were building neural nets. And so what you refer to, we had a model, which was a neural net on your phone, just via a picture or a little video, it could predict your health risks, not specifically tell you when you would die. I think that would be, but that was really telling you your age and the risk you were getting. And then it was giving you a sort of a path based on the type of intervention you should follow or the kind of test or whatever to better prevent those risks. So yeah, and we were doing that with voice. We've done that in clinical settings for more specific disease, rare disease like myasthenia gravis. So I've been in the world of clinical with AI. I've been in the world of outcomes, of cost of care for providers, for payers, for consumers, patients, done different things. So it gave me a pretty deep view of what we do really well and what we suck at.
To be specific. You know, it's interesting, if you were to put a ribbon around all that work, which was 15, 20 years of extraordinary effort, I think you and I, at some level, both of you, way more me, we're looking at how to extract meaning from data.
I've been in the field for a while, and I never thought I would experience generative AI in my lifetime. We went through the winter of AI, and then there was the revival, and we could predict the next click. And this is when I thought, oh my God, the combination of that plus the smartphone plus sensors and all that, we can certainly be better at predicting things. And we've been doing things well in a very applied way. And when it was columns and rows and numbers, the AI could understand that really well. The idea of machines, of AI understanding human language, natural language, we were kind of really like never thought it would happen. My former company, we've been very lucky with DocAI that got acquired. We were early at being able to play with the API of OpenAI. It was 2019. And I remember my team telling me, this is incredible. This is really, really good. And so we're like, oh my God, generative AI might be coming. So as we move forward and how we saw the first models coming out, we thought, oh my God, game over. So yeah, I think we can do much more. Right now, with XY, my latest company, I specifically made the choice to go after the cost of care. For me, it's a no-brainer. That's something that agent right now can do really well. And when I say the cost of care, I'm really talking about one big pain point that everybody is aware of, but it's been really put on the back burn. And it's really like the back office, the revenue cycle management of clinicians, providers, hospitals, you name it. We're really talking about nurses who spend days transcribing data from one place to another. It's soul crushing. That's not what nurses should be doing all day, right? Going from a system to another, the margin for error is massive. And so this is something I realized like a few years ago, like when you go to the doctor or the clinician, I've been experiencing that with my family, with my son. You know, every time I go, I feel like they don't remember me. There's always something going wrong in my file about the insurance, about the eligibility, about whatever. And I'm like, don't you know me by now? I've been coming for 5 years, for 10 years.
I'll take a second here because that's what I was trying to do. So put a bow on the fact you went from data analytics to predictive analytics, but now you've switched. It's been a real very distinct switch with XYAI, this new company, to move towards solving a different problem in healthcare, which is an operational problem,
yeah,
as opposed to a diagnostic or a value addition through knowledge-based model. And it's interesting that you just mentioned that one of the drivers for this was also your own personal experience coming up to the healthcare system. And then as you dug in, I love this idea that it's soul crushing, because it can be for many people working inside the health, and never mind those trying to access it, just how complex the system we've built has been. So moving to XY, it is a company that builds AI agents. Let's talk a little bit about what that is and how it differs from a chatbot or a basic automation, and then see how you're taking this technology and adapting it to healthcare to solve some of the questions you just were mentioning.
Yeah. So what we have built is a, what we call an agentic platform, agentic AI platform. So it's a platform, it's web-based, and it has a suite of agents, and each agent can execute very specific tasks. Agents are small LLMs. They are nothing else than small LLMs, but they are very good at executing very specific tasks because they've been trained or fine-tuned on specific areas. So that's what we do. So those agents, they cover issues like data entry and transcription, like claims management, which is a big one, prior auth or scheduling. It's really all the tasks that happen in the back office, in the operational side of healthcare to get healthcare going.
You said an agent is a large language model, an LLM. My understanding is an agent is actually a piece of software, but there's a large language model which acts as the way to interface with that software. So the LLM is how you interface, but it's otherwise, it's a piece of software that is able to execute tasks.
Yeah.
And in the best environment where there actually are agentic AI, not just agents, they actually can learn from what they're doing. And in that process, become better and better at executing tasks the way you want them executed. But of course, because programming is hard, you've placed a large language model in front of it. It acts as sort of a translation engine. So that can simply type in, hey, agent, do this for me. And on the back end, this piece of software executes that task and then communicates to me through the large language model, which is basically ChatGPT. Did I get that right?
Yeah, you do. In our situation, we use different type of models, just not only ChatGPT. We also use Gemini and Gemini. So it's really, there's a lot of things going on in that backend. But yes, that's exactly that. Also, for these agents, there are three type of agents. You have those who are very good at automating, those who are augmenting, and those who are predicting. Well, automation, it can execute tasks between 80 and 100%, really fully copy what a human being would do from A to Z, the full workflow. Augmentation is you keep the human in the loop. You need the human in the loop, whether confirm, validate that the execution is correct, or a piece of that task has to remain human. Even if we talk about operations, if it's linked to some clinical aspect of the workflow, you always want the human being to stay in the loop to make sure it's 100% correct.
So an automation agent might be one that puts in a request for a surgical case. It's an automated thing, does the same thing every time. And augmentation.
Or referral from a mailbox.
Got it.
Describe it properly and then send it to the right piece of software. Like it could execute that full workflow from A to Z without any human intervention.
Whereas an augmentation might be a agent that works, that sits next to me while I do a, I don't know, a physical exam and makes some suggestions based on what it sees in the medical record.
Yeah, for example, it could be like a co-pilot. It's in your web-based environment, and so it's filling in forms for you or executing workflows, but you have that window where you can validate, or it's almost like having a conversation with that agent so that you keep on feeding. It's just like collaborating with a digital workforce. And there is a lot of learning, but there's a lot of learning everywhere, also in the automation. So those agents, this is what they do really well. They keep on learning. But the validation process differs depending on the task and the workflow and how the customer wants it to happen.
Okay, so automation, augmentation, what was the third one?
And prediction.
Okay, how would that agent work?
So prediction is really great. So prediction is the part where the agent can predict for you the highest probability for that or that action to happen. So think of claims management. Denial in claims is very high. Denial is almost by design and by default. There's a game going on there. And it's very opaque. Even if you follow all the rules and even if you apply all the contracts and all the parameters you're supposed to apply, it's very hard to understand why it's denied. Now with those agents, obviously, you know, they get really smart and they can understand all these parameters and they can tell you and apply those parameters, but they can also understand the patterns, look historically at what has happened, when it's, why it's been denied or why it has not been submitted properly, and then predict what you need to do in order to augment the probability for your claim or your prior auth to be accepted.
Perfect. So thank you for explaining us those three classes of agents that can help us in healthcare and examples that we can truly relate to. So that's been really, really helpful. Now, there's something unique about XYI that it's a, as I mentioned, it's a browser-based agent, right? So explain to us how that differs from more traditional agentic platforms.
Yeah, no, so it's one of our agents. So that browser agent, so we have a suite of agents. And it's agentic by nature because there is some level of orchestration between those agents.
Let's talk about that. The thing is, this idea of orchestration between agents, before we get into your platform, is something I'd like for you to explain.
Yeah. Well, you see, we are basically helping our customers streamline their workflows. It's just sometimes that entire complexity of workflows, our customers don't know where it went wrong. They don't, because it's a mix of software, of human beings, of teams, onshore, offshore, it really, it's a mess. So you have agents that can execute simple workflows or complex workflows, but then these agents need to orchestrate and communicate with other agents that are covering other fields. So you can imagine the agent data entry and transcription communicate with the agent that does claims management, because again, there is a connection there depending on the workflow and the outcome you're trying to see. So agentic means that you have some level of orchestration in the back end with all these agents. So it is able to address all that complexity from one place to another with the different business logics and the different decision of trees. And at the same time, there are some parts that are deterministic, like it, those are very simple business logics where it's pre-programmed, you know what needs to happen. And there are other places where the agent has more room to learn and think and propose new things.
So what you've described is a digital platform in which there are individual agents, which can be thought of as employees, executing a series of tasks and communicating with each other as soon as those tasks are completed, or if they require information from another agent. It's actually not terribly different from the way we run our business today, right? We have employees that are assigned specific tasks to do. They talk to other employees. But what makes these agentic platforms so fascinating to me and obviously to you as well is the fact that we now have software that can mimic those actions.
Yeah, that's exactly that. Yeah. And that's what, for example, so you mentioned the browser agent. We're very excited about that one. It's already in production. So the browser agent, look at it as a co-pilot. So those browser agents, they just mimic human beings. Those browser agents, we deploy them, they do process mining, recording, navigation, they help our customers understand their workflow better so that we can reproduce them in a more efficient way with agents so that we can augment them, make them more efficient, because there's some level of inefficiency in the current workflows. And so that's pretty fascinating.
It is. It is. I was going to ask you another question, but just one. So by deploying the agent over a browser, you don't have to actually get embedded into the company's tech stack.
Yeah.
Which is a huge problem for security, intake, APIs, all that stuff that has to be built. It takes a long time. You can sit sort of like almost looking through the window.
Yeah, that's it.
People work and then say, okay, we understand how you guys work because we've been tracking it. This is how we can help you. And we can do some of this through the browser itself, simply by giving you advice from the browser platform, which is your own personal browser. Or alternatively, we can actually give you these other tools that you want to deploy and we think will help you. So that's terrific. So tell me, are you using agents in your own company at XYI?
Oh, yeah. So we eat our own dog food. So
it's not dog food. Let's change that. Your own great Michelin star restaurant food.
Of course. No, listen, like I said, for me, the great opportunity is that we can finally build a web-based platform that can be used no matter what kind of tech stack you have, something that you can use right away. With the browser agent, we can understand your workflows right away, your pain points. So we can customize some of those agents based on what you're trying to achieve pretty rapidly. And this can be deployed and start learning right away. And for us, what is incredible to me is I'm doing in a few months with a dozen of engineers what would have taken me a year with 60 engineers a few years ago. This is incredible. And my team, we have those agents for our customers, and then we have our platform. And we spend a lot of time optimizing our backend and scaling ourselves to make sure we can continue to deliver work in a cost-effective way. We've been extremely cost-effective as a startup. Yeah, for me as a founder, it's been a pretty interesting experience. The first time that I start a company where I have revenues before I close my seed round, very interesting. First time where I have a proof of concept and a product ready with such a small team. It's just a game changer for builders out there. It is. And I think if, especially for people who knew the field of AI already and who have a specific domain expertise, we can go much faster because there are so many things we've been trying to do for years and years. We now have the tools to execute way better and way faster. So it's pretty fascinating.
That is a fantastic note on which to leave our audience. Leave them begging for more from you at DocSF coming up in a few weeks, which you'll be presenting and participating and hopefully sticking around to talk to folks after your presentation. You give us a really fabulous perspective. There's so much more to discuss about workflow configuration, accessing APIs, compliance, security, licensing. We go everywhere because this whole agentic world is so new and novel, but it's amazing that we now have XYI Labs, an AI native company for healthcare with such a deep, deep, long history in the healthcare space that you can draw on to really deliver solutions to our acute pain points. Well done for everything you've done, Sam. I'm in awe of what you're doing. Good, well done.
Oh, thank you, Stefano. It's really great. Thank you for having me. And I'm looking forward to meet you in SF again.
Excellent.
Take care. And we're going to show how easy it is to connect with your tech stack. Could be an EHR, a billing system, could be an ERP, whatever, just by clicking on it, because everything is, you know, we can connect with anything, but also how you can generate workflows in real time. So one of the features we just pushed a few days ago, so those agent browsers, they do not only record and navigate, and you can now generate your own workflows. So you can build your own proof of concept of workflows. And then if you like them, you can activate them within your tech stack. It's very powerful. So imagine if you apply that to your best people in your organization and you tell your agent, like, this is what I want you to do and to apply from now on, automate that, go ahead. And every time the agent sees something that is off, it just tells you, like, this is a situation. What do you want me to do in this situation? And you just say what you want it to do and say, do you want me to apply that? Every time I say yes, no, boom, and you create a new workflow, which is an exception, or so. It's just incredible.
Okay, Stefan, again, I hope you enjoyed that conversation. Hope it got you excited to join us at DocSF in San Francisco on Friday, October 3rd at the San Francisco Hyatt, right there by the airport. Super easy in and out, one-day conference. You get to meet Sam, and we can discuss topics like this and so many others. And I think truly it is a remarkable concentration of extraordinarily interesting people doing amazing things in our space that you will want to be part of. So hope you enjoyed that and consider joining us at DocSF. Take care now. Bye.